So wait, this mean does this mean that we could go? This means I could fulfill my dream by moving to New York and becoming a New York City police officer?
And not only that, with your green card, you get a free underground lair.
It really is the land of dreams. This show is fucking so stupid.
I'm in a real identity crisis here, Al.
Nothing penetrates within Dawson.
Who do you see in the mirror?
20.
Oh, grey, hot.
Hello and welcome to the Incomplete series, your incomplete guide to every television show you've never watched or that you have watched, and then you just want to listen to us talk about it. My name's Morgan, and this is the podcast where we watch the very first episode of a television series and then the very last episode of a television series. Joining me as always, and well, actually, now back for a week, is Mr. Jeremy Wiseman. Jerome, how are you?
Well, not as always, because we've been...
Well, joining me as always, because I haven't been in a podcast where you haven't been.
That's true. We did sit on the pine for a podcast week, which... in reality is
a bit longer than a week.
I've been marooned on an island for 6 years.
And I've been lost in the jungles
of like
Vietnam.
It's like that part in, not Inception, Interstellar, where they go down
the planet.
The water planet. Yeah.
Yep. You've been stuck on a water planet.
So podcast time
he's been in the spaceship faster. A week of podcast time, but...
Is 6 years.
You've aged terribly.
Yeah, you look awful.
I look awful.
Yeah,
I'm losing my hair.
And Aaron, how are you?
I'm great, Morgs. Good to have you back.
It's good to be back. Not good to have Jeremy back, though.
That's okay.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Middle of the road.
Early days.
Standard, as the introduction happens, it just gets derailed.
I need to explain
my
absence.
I missed it, to be honest.
No, I know, but no one cares.
I've grown accustomed to it.
Wait, the listeners don't care about me?
No.
What are they tuning in for?
To hear my dulcet tones.
Okay.
And to hear us bicker.
What's...
I've missed a champ.
What does dulcet mean?
I don't know.
I hear it a
soft,
lot. People
soothing.
Only
I think it's soothing.
Soothing.
Mm. On that note, some dulcet tones from you, Scott. Welcome.
I find your voice very shrill,
you.
Morgan. Sort of gets in your ear. And
does mean sweet and soothing.
Can you let me introduce Scott, please?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Scott, how are you?
I'm really well.
It's good to see you.
I'm really glad I got the opportunity to say that.
What's it like having Jeremy and I back? Benoit was a great little fill-in.
Yeah, he came in, did a good job. It was definitely a change of pace, but thank you again, Benoit, for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Fill in the two pairs of shoes.
Yeah, I really enjoyed listening to the Sarah Connor Chronicles. Something I've always actually wanted to watch myself, but now I don't need to.
Do you still want to?
No, not really. You guys gave it a... I mean, to be honest, I do from the John Henry stuff. 20!
It's
a bit weird. Yeah, I'd never wanted to watch it and...
Still don't. No, you don't.
One scene that really intrigued me that you spent a bit of time talking about was the RoboCop type gun hidden in the guy's leg. But
the first episode.
But they made it. I don't know why they put it underneath the muscle tissue and stuff. Is that what happens?
So he has to rip the gun out of his skin.
Yeah, he has to cut through his fake skin.
That seems really impractical.
Why would you just give him a gun?
Yeah, why wouldn't you just have it in a holster, tuck into his pants?
They're in Texas, weren't they?
Yeah.
Why don't you tuck into his pants? Even if they weren't in Texas, you just tuck it in your pants.
Tuck it in your pants.
Everyone does it. It's
put it in your glove box.
Put it in your leg and have to cut your leg open. It seems really stupid.
It's very drastic.
Mm. Yeah.
Didn't make much sense. Like the rest of the show.
But hey, what would we know? We're not Terminators. We're not T-1000s. No. We're just a regular bunch of guys podcasting.
We haven't been there. We haven't seen the things that they've seen.
Mm. Speaking of poorly designed, whose fucking idea was it to watch Pretty Little Liars? That's the show that we're doing.
I want to say that it was my idea.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure it was my idea.
Because I got a lot of notes here. And I'm not going to lie. That's the worst fucking show we've watched.
I think it's the most fun I've had since Quantum Leap.
Ooh. Quantum Leap is still the gold standard.
Quantum Leap.
Are you saying that Scott's poorly designed for choosing it, or the show was poorly designed?
Well, I hadn't really thought about it.
Both.
Like that.
It's an interesting.
I guess it
could
be both.
Could be both.
I mean, I was referring to the show, but now that you've pointed that out,
which
Scott, you are poorly designed.
Which features of Scott, if you had the chance, would you overhaul?
Oh wow!
His gum leg.
Where did the designer fall short? God, being
did you
the
say
designer.
His gums? Mm.
No, those two. His gum leg.
Oh, yeah, the gum leg.
Yeah, that's a problem.
And I haven't used it yet, but it's still in there.
I thought you said gum leg, like he's got a dicky leg.
I'd like to see Scott
that's
with
really
some...
That's really personal, guys. I wish he hadn't brought that up.
I'd like to see Scott with some, like, platinum blonde hair, like a Rutger Hauer.
I thought you were going to say, like, a platinum skin on me.
Ooh,
like
that'd also be interesting.
Like Data?
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got...
Ooh, yeah, like the...
platinum yellow.
You could do anything you want with Scott and you change his hair to blonde. Come on, Morgan. Be a bit more creative.
You're
Morgan,
right. I'm dropping the ball
Jez,
here.
Jez, how do you want to reboot Scott?
You can do so much. I'd
give
rid
us an
of
example.
Leg straight away.
Gun leg.
Don't need those.
Replace him with wheels.
Tank
turn
tracks.
Into a car.
Tank tracks.
I think so.
Caterpillar wheels.
More durable.
You know what I like about Morgan's reboot of me is that it's doable. I could do that. I could have I could please Morgan and have
platinum
blonde hair.
Yeah. I don't think tank tracks is really going to work.
I'm just picturing, have you guys ever seen Wild Wild West?
Yeah. We had spoken about Wild Wild West and their eyeball technology.
Oh, of course. Oh, we have. Jesus Christ.
That's what Scott needs.
Yeah. Anyway, let's just get back to Pretty Little Liars. Now, Jez, what did you know about Pretty Little Liars going into this?
I knew the song. There was a song. I don't know why I knew. I think it used to always play on Foxtel.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but that song was etched in my memory for some reason. And I knew like the promo shot of them all shushing, in front of the coffin. That's it. That's all I knew.
We'll get to that. Aaron, what did you know?
Absolutely nothing. It was in the same basket as like Vampire Diaries and American Horror Story for me.
No. American Horror Story is much higher quality. It's very much in a different basket.
Okay, I'll move the baskets.
Less shushing.
Yeah. More hushing. Yeah. Scott, do you know anything about Pretty Little Liars going? Well, you must because you suggested it. So.
Yeah, I think I've actually seen the first season. I think.
What do you think? You would know or you wouldn't.
Well, I can't remember. It was a long time ago. I was a younger man.
It's like 6 years ago.
I was younger 6 years ago.
I'm aware of that.
I think
you were the same age the whole time.
I don't believe you.
Because Jeremy's like 60. Yeah. I mean, because of these quantum leaping, we just never know how old he's going to be when he gets here.
We never know. No, I'd seen maybe like 7 episodes, something like that. I think I gave it up after.
So you gave it a nudge. Really.
I gave it a crack. And now I can see why I didn't continue.
Interesting that you made it through 7 episodes before deciding not to continue.
Yeah.
I would have thought the first episode would be enough.
Maybe 7 minutes.
Your taste's probably matured.
Yeah. I think it was like a... It was in one night. I just smashed him.
It's
I was
a dark like, night.
You know what? I'm just going to go to bed. Wake up tomorrow. It'll be a new day.
Just forget about everything that happened.
Tomorrow is a new day.
I'll start a new venture.
Based on all that, I kind of want to redo my reboot now. The Dark Knight. And it'd just be Scott going to watch the first season. Oh, Pretty Little Liars.
We're into reboots.
But he's got platinum hair.
Yeah, he's got platinum hair. So it's an alternate reality. Yeah, it's reboot. And Tank tracks his legs.
More superior Scott.
Yeah. Fast, well, slower, really, because those tank tracks don't move that particularly quickly. Look, should we just go ahead and lean into episode one?
Let's do it.
Pretty Little Liars kicks off with a boozy teenage girl sleepover in a family barn. The five friends tell secrets before falling asleep. When they wake in the middle of the night, one of them is missing, Allison. She's disappeared.
What do you mean she's gone?
I've looked everywhere for her.
Look, I heard her scream.
We skip to a year later, and the mystery of Allison is still unsolved. The four remaining girls are getting reacquainted with each other and their sordid pasts. There's Aria Montgomery, who's just moved back after a year in Europe. She knows the secret of her dad's affair with a college student and is hiding it from her mum. She also just had sex with her new high school English teacher in a bar. There's Spencer Hastings. She has a penchant for her sister's boyfriends and is taking a liking to the new one. There's Hannah Marin, who's a poor man's Chloe Grace Moretz. She's the Newick girl and uses shoplifting to deal with her eating issues. Luckily, after she's arrested, her mum banged the cop to get her off.
It was a misunderstanding, but I'm taking care of it.
And lastly, Emily Fields, a swimmer who's getting very close with the new girl who just moved into Allison's old house. Relations are frosty between the girls, and things start getting weird when they all get different messages about their secrets, all signed A, including one about the Jenna thing.
Wait, you don't think she'd ever talk about...
The Jenna thing? We made a promise.
They all think Allison is back until her body is found at her old house. Case closed? Not quite. A funeral is held for Allison, and Jenna, of the Jenna thing, is there and is now blind. The cops are now investigating this as a murder. After the funeral, all four girls get a message.
I'm still here, bitches. And I know everything. Hey.
I first of all want to make a minor correction with Hannah and her eating issues. I believe that she's shoplifting to cover up for her daddy issues and then uses eating issues to supplement both of them.
Okay.
I think it's slightly more complex.
Yeah, you're oversimplifying teenage girl psyche.
Sorry.
I really wanted you to do a... a full graph on her emotional issues.
We'll get there.
Well, I've never seen a pilot for a TV show that overused music as much as that episode did.
Oh, they always do though.
And just like mediocre
teen dramas.
Is this how they get funding or something? Is it that the record company or whatever says, no, "Hey, we've got all these artists who are never going to get airplay.
Jez, there's no money in the music industry anymore. No? That's why they're able to put so much music in there. They can just buy it for nothing.
But it's so just crap. Why? Like, why? Why do they need it? Like, there's barely 30 seconds that goes by in that episode without some stupid...
And of course, they did the classic trope of two people in a bar, one of them saying, oh, I love this song, and that's how they get together.
And one of them being 17?
Yes.
That is how every teenage relationship starts.
Everyone. It is not
you
okay.
Just walk around
it
saying that to people until you find someone.
It is not okay that...
He's 30 and she's 17.
Aria hooks up with the teacher and then there's this whole love story about it. That's not okay. It's not. You cannot advocate that. That is just the tip of the iceberg with what's wrong with this show. This show is everything that's wrong with this our current society. It is represented in that 42 minutes.
It is such a bad move. You're going into a new town, starting a new job like that week, and you have sex with a girl who's questionably young and you're a teacher. Do not put yourself
in that
situation.
To be fair to him though, he can put most of his blame on the bouncers who let a 17-year-old into a 21 and overs bar.
In his defense, there's that. But still, once you find that
does
out...
Does that hold up in court? If they're in a bar, they're legal?
No, I think... No, because the age of consent is 16. You can legally have sex with a 16-year-old, I think.
I don't want to look that up before.
You're a lawyer, aren't you?
Can we scratch this? In some states in America, I'm pretty sure that that's fine.
In Pennsylvania?
I don't know the laws of Pennsylvania.
But even so, he is starting a teaching job.
But that's the main thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, moral ambiguities aside, there is nothing sexy about going to a bar at like 11 a.m. in the morning and hooking up with some random guy.
Yeah, what's he even doing there? Just drinking by himself?
It's ridiculous. Why are they both there? Like, I don't understand.
They both like poetry.
Oh, yeah, right.
And the fray.
Yeah, and what day? Is it a Saturday?
No one likes a fray.
Is it a Saturday there? I can't tell.
Yeah,
it is.
I always find like a Tuesday.
It's like, because it looks like, she's dropping off in the morning. And then she, like, when she goes, like, in that scene, when she's going to drop her brother off to the lacrosse tryouts, it's like, what time you pick me up? Oh, pick me up at 6. I'm like, what time is it? It's like 11. You're going to be there for 7 hours? Why? It's going to be dark by the time she picks him up. I just couldn't understand that. This is all backwards to me.
She's been drinking at a bar, having sex.
She's just going to drink at a bar all day.
And then drive home.
Yeah, well, of course. So that's just another layer of how wrong this show is.
Morgan, you don't understand. Her friend went missing a year ago.
Right. So
she's got to deal with it somehow.
Okay, fair enough.
That was every day in Iceland.
Walking the fjords, kicking rocks, thinking about life,
having sex with teachers.
That whole thing is meant to make the show
it's very
look
European.
Really,
yeah.
It's meant to make the show look really edgy when they're in that bar, but it's just like there's two of them. It's the middle of the day and they're both drinking alone.
I have another thing about it being edgy because, what's her name? The sporty one? Sporty Spice.
Emily.
Pretty Little Eye. Emily, that's her.
And her friend being like, hey, do you mind if I do a marijuana?
She was the worst.
Just one marijuana.
She's insufferable.
Let's share a marijuana.
I would also like to point out, how old do you think she's meant to be in that show?
Which one? The new girl?
Yeah, the new girl with the curly hair, Maya.
So 16 probably?
Yeah, you know the actress who played her was 33 in that scene?
Oh, God, that's too much.
I like to look it up. I'm like, she's just not. I mean, I know, I'm sure it's meant to be 16 to 18, but that's at least make them 25.
And the actress that played Allison, the girl who went missing, she was 13.
What? Are you serious?
Yeah, there's such an age range.
That's,
what?
20-year gap.
I'm pretty sure most.
I mean,
of
they weren't in any scenes. Together,
most of the cast are about 20 to 25.
Yeah, you can get away with that.
No, you can. 13? And that's what they do. Yeah, 13's crazy, and 33 is. I guess absurd. They were. That's just. That is just disrespecting your audience.
The show pretty quickly. But anyway, when they were like, do you mind if I do a marijuana in the bedroom? and then like...
Do we have a clip of that?
Does that mean you'd kill me if I smoked a little weed?
Cut two, they're like walking down the street. Neither of those girls are high at all.
And where have they been? They just like left. Thanks for walking me home. But we're at your house.
Just
bizarre.
Before we go any further, we do need to mention the just one outstanding piece of casting.
Oh, yeah.
Which is Spencer Hastings. Did you guys pick up on it?
I did. Mm. Played by... You didn't do it.
Is it Miriam Ponderosa? No.
It's way better than that.
It was played by one... I don't know how to pronounce her first name, so I'm just going to take a stab and go Troyanne Belisario.
Daughter of...
Donald
P. Belisario.
Holy shit.
All roads lead back to JAG. It doesn't matter what show we do, how unrelated it is, how bad it is always
how
connected
disappointing.
To the godfather of television.
Mm. How disappointed would Donald be that his daughter's not in the Air Force? And she ended up acting like
wanted
a,
to
like
follow
a
in
chump.
His footsteps. How dare she?
She's in an episode of Quantum Leap as well.
Mm. Is she?
She is.
Wow.
Yeah. It was one where... It's one of the ones where Sam goes back and he's in... goes into a woman's body, and it's like a mother, and I think one of her kids goes missing, and then the daughter, who's played by Troyan, she can see her mother as Sam, which must be so traumatizing. Yeah.
Because kids and dogs.
They see
kids
stuff.
Kids and dogs. Got to go back to Quantum Leap.
I want to talk about Hannah. Allison disappears.
Yeah.
They start getting text messages from A about all their secrets and lies. The stakes are also low on their problems. Arya's, she knows her dad had an affair. Okay.
No, but she also herself is...
Well, she's with the teacher, but they're not life-threatening issues. They're not like these, they're talking, I'm back bitches. Like, these are just teenage problems.
It's
they're
the
not
teenage
that...
girl, which when you're a teenager is life-threatening. That's your whole world.
I suppose that's why I failed to connect with it. Yeah.
But they threw acid in some girl's eyes or something.
Yeah, what do you think the Jenna thing was?
I don't know.
She seems to hate them as well, even in the last episode.
Because they must have blinded her eyesight, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. I reckon they might maybe put hair removal cream on her eyebrows and eyelashes and got in their down. Eyes.
Okay. Yeah. Harmless bleach gone wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
Harmless prank gone wrong.
Okay.
Well, anyway, so you guys are not with me on the terms of that. Like, the stakes are so low, which makes the show so disinteresting.
Yeah, but I do on Emily's one where it was like, we kissed once. This is not on the same level as other people's secrets.
If you're a 16-year-old girl who's in the closet, then maybe that would be the worst thing to. I don't know.
You could way out of that though, if you really wanted to.
I know, but then connecting it with Allison's murdered and the cops are the least intimidating police officer.
I've ever. You're all suspects.
Yeah,
you do not go up to a bunch of minors after their friend's funeral say, "I'm going to be interrogating each and every one of you for your friend's murder,"
and then stand away in a tree and intimidate them hysterically.
Aaron, have you not heard of the saying, strike while the iron's hot?
Oh, yes.
You've got to get them when they're at their most emotionally vulnerable, so
also,
they'll crack.
Do that while you just like a day after you just banged one of their moms.
No, that was a different cop, I'm pretty sure.
No,
was
the same one.
Was it the same one?
Cop. Yeah, we should point that out. Yeah, that Hannah, the shoplifting one, the cop is banging her mom.
So he's
not getting her out of the charges.
He's gone from investigating theft in a mall to a homicide.
That's one of my notes. That's one of my notes. Why did they send a detective and one uniformed police officer to pick up a girl for shoplifting?
And then they put cuffs on her at her house, take her down to the station, put her in the lobby. She's just a shoplifter.
Exactly.
You do not need to put handcuffs on her.
They book them and give them a fine. They return the property and they get community service. It's ridiculous.
Mm. Why is he doing both of these things though? Why is he
small town
loss prevention officer and also homicide detective?
And we have one cop.
Speaking of inappropriate things at the funeral, why is the teacher who turned up 3 days ago at the girl's funeral who went missing a year ago?
That's weird.
That is such an inappropriate time to go there.
So he can
entire
make a
town.
But it's essentially to make a move on Arya. That's the only reason. Like you said, strike while the iron's hot.
What? he's such a dirtbag. I know that he's like the heartthrob of the show, but that's a real sleaze move.
Picking up a 16-year-old while you're a teacher and then going to her best friend's
funeral.
It's a real dirtbag
move. Grab her and force yourself onto her.
Well, good thing they got married. Did the honourable thing, didn't he? But that's for another episode. The only other episode we've watched.
So what's the age gap there?
I think he's like 22.
He's probably 24
college,
or something.
Yeah.
So 7 years.
Yeah.
Maybe he was like a child genius and he's actually
Shouldn't
19.
Shouldn't he have been sacked?
Yes.
Absolutely.
I'm guessing at some point he gets sacked from the school.
She still marries him.
Yes. Mm. Arya has a very... The Lucy Hale who plays Arya has a very powerful jawline.
She does.
Yeah. Mm. You guys notice that?
Interesting face. She's the only one that stands out.
Mm. Yeah. That I want to mention, which was they show the flashbacks and Lucy Hale's character, Arya, she's got the streak in her hair.
Yeah.
Everyone keeps pointing out like, oh God, I'd never let you out. And if you had a streak in your hair, it's a fucking streak.
16 years old.
And one of her friends was murdered. There's much bigger issues here. Why are we focusing on that? And then Emily's mum's making a big deal about it. And they always pointed out, you look so different. You've got that streak out of your hair. It's gone. Yeah, it grows out eventually.
That's how you know that she matured over the years. Now she doesn't have the streak.
Is it at the funeral when she confronts the teacher?
Yeah, and she's talking about him being a jerk.
Yeah, and then he gets really apologetic.
Yeah.
But by that point, he knows that she's a student.
Well, they saw each other in class.
Why is he still... pursuing it? And why is he?
Because well, the heart wants what the heart wants.
Exactly. But she's like, you're being such a jerk. He's like, I'm sorry, I'm like this.
But
like,
he met her.
Don't apologize. You could lose your job and go to prison. This is not.
They met
both
once.
At fault.
Just let it go. Yeah. They met once at a bar. They didn't really have a relationship. Like, they hooked up one time.
She writes poetry and likes the
phrase.
Why
is she getting so bent out of shape about it?
Why are they both getting so? Why isn't he just like, oh, that was I fucked up there. Yeah. I guess I'll just move on.
And just like, hey, look, please don't mention this. I could lose my job, and you know, and this could destroy my life.
That'd be
and
the end of it.
Exactly, yeah. And it's fine.
And she said, like, oh, I won't mention it.
No, just exactly. Walk away. Yeah, exactly. This is good. Perfect. Walk away. You quit the job, move to another town. Mm. This is bad. This is really bad.
And we know that Arya is good at keeping secrets because she's keeping a dad's secret about his affair. Mm. Why is he just bringing that up in the house while his wife's like two and a half meters away?
What was that about? You guys talk about a secret over there? Oh, no. That's something else.
Father-daughter talk.
Mm. The wife played by someone from Charmed.
Yes, Piper from Charmed. Piper. I don't know the actor's name, actress's name. I don't need to know because I assume we'll never come across her again until we do Charmed, which is inevitable.
That is coming. Inevitable.
Well, look, on that note, should we go ahead and jump into episode 2?
I believe we should.
In a series of events more complicated than the Star Trek Next Generation finale, the final episode of Pretty Little Liars begins with a quick catch-up of where everybody is at. Ezra and Arya are still together, ready to get married. Spencer and her sister Melissa have rekindled their relationship. Hannah is with some dropkick named Caleb. And Emily has a partner, Allison. Apparently, she's back in the show now, and her and Emily have two young children together. There's also Mona from the first episode, who just got out of a mental hospital for killing or kidnapping some people or something.
Hannah, what were you thinking? Are you nuts? Why would you bring her here?
Hannah takes her in, but Mona is playing funny buggers serving her Sith Lord or near thereabouts. The alleged A, or AD, from the first episode.
So what now? Does that mean you'll tell me who you are?
Not yet.
The day before Arya's wedding, Spencer and Ezra are kidnapped by Spencer's biological mother, who's been broken out of jail. They're being held captive by Spencer's twin sister, Alex. Alex Drake, AD. She's a chav who grew up on the streets of London feeding on hate and resentment for Spencer's better life. So she's trapped them in a multi-million dollar underground lair / simulation.
This isn't just about you wanting my friends. It's about Toby, isn't it? And now he's free to be with his one true love, me.
Whilst being chased by Alex, Ezra proves his usefulness by face-planting into a rock, and the rest of the gang find the underground lair and have to choose between the two twins in what has to be the easiest to prove situation in televisual history. Alex gets taken to jail and later on-sold by a policeman to Mona, and the girls live happily ever after.
For some reason, this feels like it's the end of something.
where do we begin with that?
Like, I have no idea. Like, so really,
we start off at the start. So Emily's with Allison.
Yes.
And Allison is the one who died in the first
episode. She's missing and they found her body.
So she was dead.
I don't want to jump ahead too far into speculation, but I'm going to. I think A, who was sending all the messages, was actually... I think it was Mona.
Yeah, and then AD's a new one.
AD's new.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I've heard that there were two A's. Like halfway through the run, there was a reveal. Yeah. And then they're like, but no, there's
Mona
a
had,
real one.
Mona
no,
had,
we got
Mona
renewed
had,
for a fourth season.
Yeah. Mona had Allison kidnapped. And then, that's what I think happened in the intro.
Oh, right. Because Mona wanted
to be the it girl. And
right, and she was the nerdy one that they were running away from at
the
start.
Which was really sad. I got really upset watching that.
Oh, was that Mona at the start?
Yeah. The pigtails.
So I think that's what I think happened.
Where'd she find a dead body to sub it in for Allison?
Well, she's Mona. She's crazy. They just basically... solve a lot of problems with Mona's crazy
and no friend. So she probably just got like a dead homeless guy.
Probably
cracked out a couple of Allison's teeth, chucked them in his mouth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, we
know that the police are part-time mole cops, so I doubt they did the forensic check. They just found a skeleton. They're like, well, I guess
we're missing that week, so we just had to wrap up that case quickly.
I don't think that's the body is not the biggest issue of this whole show. Let's talk about the underground lair. And not only that, Spencer's evil sister that lives in London.
Yeah, Alex Drake, yeah.
Jesus.
Just needed an extra Belisario.
Yeah, I just don't understand.
Literally an evil twin.
Like, yeah, do you reckon that...
with the worst
she didn't even
British
have a,
accent.
Didn't even have a moustache. It was ridiculous.
I don't know where to begin. Like, the whole... she having that, like, underground prison... with the fake house above it.
Yeah, so she inherited some money from her...
Someone.
I couldn't really keep track.
She built it.
But like that lair with like a simulated like day night sort of
thing.
Like
a military grade like multiple cells underground. Yeah. Above it is like a Truman Show style remake of a little perfect suburban house.
Yeah.
It would cost tens of million dollars to build it.
What's the That's point not of something. House? And not only that, she's going to have to pay contractors to build
so
that.
Many of them in bumfuck nowhere.
Exactly, yes. And you're going to get around. You can't just build things quick. Like that. You have to report those.
What are you
going
to use these cells for?
You got to get a permit. You got to dig right underground. There's cables in there. Like hey, why are you making this military grade prison? Oh, no reason at all.
They're like simulating daylight.
Yeah.
It would take so much power off the grid. It'd be so easy to find.
Why
the power company would be like, man, we're really losing a lot of out of kilojoules out here.
What? Yeah, is she paying for that? Is she who's that name under? Like, she set it under her name? There's so many problems.
So I can suspend my disbelief.
I can't.
Slightly for the layer.
Can you suspend Jess's disbelief for it?
In the context of the show, it makes sense that she's, in what she's trying to do, she needs to hide her sister.
Yeah.
So she can assume her life. Mm. Why the house on top? What's the point in that? Just have the lair.
Just lock her
in
a cell.
Is she like planning on, because she was in love with, was it Toby?
Yeah.
She's in love with everyone.
Yeah, so she wanted, it was Spencer's boyfriend Toby for herself. Mm. So maybe she was like, that was going to be their perfect life.
No, she was just going to swap places with her, just assume her life.
Maybe that was her gift to Spencer. You can live here.
You can live in this. Because they found all the supplies. They're like, oh my God, she's going to keep me alive down here.
Just get back, unsuspend your disbelief, because all of this, that entire motive for her building the underground lair, spending all of her fortune, which I don't know where she got it from.
And pounds to US dollars.
Oh, right. Okay.
Exchange rate's really good.
So pretty lucrative working in a pub in England, is it?
She brought $300 over and got $12.5 million.
But the dollar dipped like 99.5%. She bought in at the right time.
It was all based off like she didn't have any idea about this whole life of Spencer in the US. It was all based on what Ren, the ex-boyfriend of Spencer's older sister, that I assume she cheated on the older sister with Spencer. That was all based, all the things she learned. About all the friends. And the whole motive for all of that is just so she can hang out with four American girls in her 20s. Yeah.
Because she had a tough life growing up in London. Yeah.
I wanted to hang out with these four American girls and assume your life.
I'm going
to
go full supervillain.
Yeah. And it was all based off what some British guy I met in a pub said.
At first I thought Ren was putting me on. But then he pulled out his phone. Showed me a picture. I still don't know why. But I started to cry.
That was it.
That is what the conclusion of the show is. That's why I'm like, this is insane. Well, actually, there's many other things, but that is it just makes no sense.
So out of control.
This episode opened in a really bizarre way where it was like, it was like a dream sequence inside of a snow globe that Mona was holding. And then she like dropped it on the ground, Citizen Kane
like
style.
In prison
What was the point of that?
I don't know. That was a really weird Citizen Kane reference.
They had a lot of budget left over when they were filming the last episode.
So they're just like, let's spend it all.
Yeah, let's see what we can do with this.
We've
got 2 hours.
And drag that last it out. Scene with Mona where that goes to France after Alex gets arrested. And so Mona's working in like some doll shop in Paris, and then she walks downstairs, and she's got her own underground bunker downstairs.
Everyone's got one. Where do they get the resources
with the
to
prisoners.
Build these underground
with
lairs?
With the prisoners from America in some little dollhouse.
Okay. She has an extradition treaty with America. And
outranks all of American law enforcement.
In doing the summary, I read like the Wikipedia page for the final episode, which is so long.
It's really long.
But what happened was Mona hooked up the guy that she was like when she was in France at the end, and she like her husband or boyfriend or whatever was like, come over and meet me for whatever.
While she's wearing a beret.
And a trench coat inside.
Yeah. Classic France.
All French people wear berets.
And trench coats inside. It's ridiculous.
That guy was the guy that came up and arrested arrested Alex at the underground bunker.
He was a fake cop?
No, he was a real cop.
Oh, God.
But he was French. Did you notice how he had a French accent? He was like, come with me.
No, I didn't.
That was the time.
And that's it. And so they're enough to go.
He
off.
Did the arrest, so they're his prisoners?
Yeah, and so he gave them to Mona? What? I don't know. The cops in this town are fucked.
So wait, does this mean that we could go, this means I could fulfill my dream by moving to New York and becoming a New York City police officer?
Yeah, absolutely.
And just like, I could live the dream.
And anyone you arrest, you can bring home with you.
Perfect. They're yours. To Australia. I own them.
You do.
Wonderful.
And not only that, with your green card, you get a free underground lair.
It really is the land of dreams. It's just, this show is fucking so stupid. I'm sorry. I just cannot. It's just everything about it. Just like the underground military prison and the motives, the fake Spencer. It's just
so
I just can't get past
thin.
It. It's not just enough. Insane.
Surely you'd just be like, oh, sounds like she's doing well. I guess it's not her fault that I'm living this life and she's living that one. It's my parents. I mean, maybe I should take it out on them.
Or take some initiative and make my life better.
Or
in this scenario, anything. Though, do you think that maybe... I'm not really sure what Benoit looks like. I've only heard his beautiful voice. Mm. But if Benoit looked like me...
Oh, so you...
Maybe he kidnaps me, puts me in his underground lair.
He does have an underground lair.
I knew it. That.
May I interject?
No, you may not.
So you describe your voice as dulcet tones.
Yes.
And Benoit only gets beautiful voice.
Well, I mean,
he's got a thick Cockney accent like Alex did. So.
Yeah, so he's putting on my dulcet tones. Okay. I mean, that's saying that Benoit's me, which is ridiculous because he's not.
Mm. Speaking of impersonating people, I want to talk about at one point, Mona puts on a mask of Spencer's sister.
Yeah, what?
And it's like, to a T. What kind of Jack and Hagar bullshit is
whoa.
This?
Yeah, that prosthetic was amazing.
She's serving the many-faced god.
This is actually a Game of Thrones spin-off.
She pulled it off exactly the same way as they do in Game of Thrones, just like that pinch, and then the face is gone.
But this was before Game of Thrones. No, it wasn't. Nope.
No, that episode aired.
I got that completely wrong.
Oh, about 2 months ago.
That's right. Sorry.
We're not gonna edit out your shame.
That's fine. That's totally fine.
Shame.
Shame. Shame.
I can't take it. Not after all the rebooting of me that's already happened. It's like bullshit. Like, as soon as you open up that, like, anybody can be anybody, it's like, this show, you might as well not watch anymore.
Yeah.
anything could happen.
It's Scooby-Doo.
That bit was so
weird.
I
would have got away
with it with
the meddling kids.
Except Jack and Hagar is just a modern-day Scooby-Doo.
Did you like how you could tell the point in the episode where, when it was airing live, it would have ticked over to the MA time slot and they're just like, quickly, put in like 6 sex scenes. And then they all just like, I guess we'll all just go off and have sex and... Like, you know, they're at the dinner.
And then
suddenly it's just sex scene.
Back to back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know who the cinematographer was, but they clearly did not know how to shoot a tasteful lesbian sex scene.
No.
Like, the heterosexual sex scene was like, the cinematographer was like, yeah, now I know what I'm doing. But like, the one between Emily and Allison is just so clunky.
I know.
Like, it's like, look, a bit of touch in the leg and we'll get him kind of kissing, but sort of not really showing. And just did not know how to do it.
It's just, that's the least of the problems in this show. Also, sorry, now that I'm thinking of it, I want to point out in like the, when Spencer's mother was talking about how she gave birth to the twins.
Mm.
Did anyone notice, like, why was it in like a 1950s style hospital?
Yeah.
And they came out and gave the baby to the guy in the fedora and then there's
lightning in the background. Yeah. And some sort of,
there's no lighting in the hospital at all. Like, why?
Pre-war Germany or something.
Yeah.
They spend all the money on the underground lairs. There's nothing left for the public health services.
Right, that makes sense. But all the dresses, all the characters in that, like, that birth scene, it's like 1950s, 1940s style. It's like,
when it would have been like 1991 or
something. Yeah. Did anyone else notice that?
Yeah, I noticed that.
It was really odd.
They're just trying to go for that stylized sort of,
I don't know, what they're trying
to
go for.
Way more dramatic than what it is.
Like, yeah.
They're just like, they had all this budget to blow. They're like, well, let's just make a completely outlandish set.
Yeah. One thing we haven't brought up yet is that Arya finds out that she can't have children.
Yeah.
And this is just like a really little thing in the grand scheme of things. But she gets the call about that at about midnight. What doctor's office is making calls at midnight to tell women that they're barren?
He's about to go to bed.
This is not a good time for this.
I knew there was something I was meant to do.
I better do it. Otherwise, I'll forget tomorrow.
Don't.
Hey, just letting you know, can't have kids. What is this?
Okay, bye-bye. A, don't do it over the phone. B, do not do it in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
That's not a professional way to go about it.
Was it Emily who got pregnant?
Hannah got pregnant at the end.
Yeah, okay. And she says to Arya,
okay?
I'm pregnant. You're okay with that, aren't you?
I'm pregnant. You're okay with that, right?
You don't need to ask your friend that.
No, okay.
No relationship.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, she says no.
I'll abort it.
Yeah.
It's fine.
No,
because I wouldn't want to offend you.
Because I'm barren, none of you can have children ever.
If I'm barren, we're all barren.
Exactly.
We're in this together.
Friends for life.
We ride together, we die together.
Exactly.
I like to think that the moment when Spencer woke up in that cell and what's her name? Alex was on the other side of it, and they played it out like a mirror.
Yeah.
Felt like a Quantum Leap reference.
It did.
To me.
It did.
Where they were kind of like matching their movements, but not quite. I was like, oh, this is just like watching Quantum Leap.
She grew up in a Quantum Leap household, so...
He was probably just doing that to her. Like, they probably didn't have mirrors. They just had cutouts and he just...
Trust me, this works.
That'd be so cool to do to a child.
This is the Belisario house, damn it. We don't have mirrors.
We just had mirrors of ourselves.
To look like ourselves.
Oh, God.
She finally buys her own house. He comes over and just gets a like, fit of rage when he sees the mirror.
Yeah.
Not in my house.
Absolutely knew it was going to end up with that scene where Alex pretends to be Spencer and someone has to pick between them.
Yeah.
Knew that was coming.
Oh, I know.
It's such a low stakes, like the rest of the show, such a low stakes decision to make. Like, it's so easy to find out which one's which.
Yeah.
This She's one grew up in England for 20 years. This one you got 20 years worth of memories with. Just ask her.
Yeah.
Almost anything.
What are our names?
Oh, shit. Is it Spalix? I don't know.
Do you know where that started?
Because
that's in a lot of things.
Pick between the twins sort of thing. Yeah, I don't know. It's probably on TV Tropes.
Yeah, my favorite one was in Futurama when there's Bender and Flexo and they're like fighting and Layla's like, oh, I don't know which one to shoot. And Fry's like, Flexo, shoot Flexo.
I must admit, to move into speculation again, until I sort of came to the realization with the whole Mona thing, after I watched episode one, I assumed that they resurrected Allison through some sort of shaman type situation. I don't know.
The supernatural thing definitely isn't out of the realms of possibility because there was a spin-off of this.
No really? Way.
Yeah, Ravenswood.
What?
In, I think, 2014, which was a supernatural theme where there was like a curse in the town.
Oh.
Yeah, got cancelled after a season.
Wow. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
I tried the Baywatch Nights style spin-off mid series run of the original.
They should have
learned. So Arya was just popping off in her spare time and going over to Raven's.
Were there any was there any character crossover or?
Just David Hasselhoff.
Right.
He's in everything. I don't know.
The animated adventures of David Hasselhoff. Nice.
I want to know how Spencer got to be a partner at a law firm whilst also just being a paralegal.
That seems
like a weird thing.
She didn't, because that can't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? You can't be a paralegal and a partner.
I think it was...
That's not how it works.
Wasn't it her mum's, like...
Right, Jess?
I mean... You're
the expert on this.
You wouldn't, but you could. Like, a partner just means that you've got a cut in the business, right? So,
okay.
But it... She wouldn't be.
No. What purpose would you have putting her name on the thing? She's just a... I'll get her to represent me. No, she's just a paralegal, so she'll just do the note-taking.
Smith and Belisario,
actually.
Didn't they say that it was her mum's law firm? So her name was on it just by default?
She's got like 17 mothers. Oh, so was she just calling herself a partner?
Yeah, because... Well, it's my name as well.
It's my law firm.
It's like, so if you ever see a law firm with your name on it, you just have a stake in it.
Yeah. Mm. There's an IGA with my name on it. Does that mean that I can just go in and just take food from there?
Burgess's IGA.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
It's up in Ngambi.
Yeah. There's a Morgan Cole law firm in the US and I own like 20% of that.
Yeah.
Nice. You just get royalty checks in the mail.
Got them on retainer?
I do, yeah. Yeah.
Morgan has himself on retainer?
Yeah. Yes, I do. It's my law firm.
always is his one phone call to call himself.
Exactly.
And he just gets that...
Damn mistake.
Well, I'm keep doing it. But
does anyone else have any speculation as to what happened between episode one and 160, I believe?
Who the fuck knows, really?
Like I said, low stakes. It would have just been more teenage tropes.
One of them comes back from the dead, so...
Yeah, well, there we go. That's probably in Ravenswood, they explain that.
Mm.
The spin-off version.
Quite possibly.
What more could you want?
Mm. Well, then we may as well just move into reboots.
I think we should.
I think it's time to reboot this hideous monstrosity of television melodrama. Would you call it a melodrama? Teen drama. That's fine.
Bad show.
Bad show. Mm. That's what I was trying to call it.
Television flop.
Unfortunately, it's not a flop. It lasted 7 years.
Mm. Very successful flop.
Mm. Mm. Well, look, Scott, do you want to kick us off with what you've rebooted this monstrosity into?
I would. So we're going to go back a few years, a little bit further than 2007. This is set in the year 1341.
Okay.
And we've got the Augustinian order living in solitude in England. So it's after, we're sort of like set in this sort of commune with all these sort of like monk type sort of people. They're not quite the same as monks, but almost. And after a century of peace and civil discourse, the town's prior general, Joseph Callahan, goes missing. The last person to see him go missing was Abbot Martin Mendel, an eccentric man with one eye. 3 months after the disappearance, the church is like, no, we're not gonna look into this. Let it run its course. We'll just replace him and it'll be fine. But on a rainy Wednesday evening, Mendel notices a scroll being slipped under his door. And it reads, "You were the last person to see me alive. Have you atoned?" And it's signed, J.C. So basically from there, Mendel gathers a few other abbots and they try to figure out what happened to the missing prior. So it's called Pretty Little Friars.
I thought it would be.
I sort of imagine it playing out in a... do you know the film The Name of the Rose with Sean Connery?
Yeah, yeah.
Where he's a friar and they're solving a murder mystery. Yeah.
That film really upset me.
Oh, really?
It's very troubling.
I'm imagining it like...
emotionally? Or
there's a few... Like, it's just, I don't know, lots of really unsettling scenes.
There's a few like 80s like medieval films that they just... I've seen a couple. They make me really uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
The 80s really nailed the medieval films.
The Last Knight with Sean Connery and Richard Gere.
That was the 90s. And don't talk shit about it. Okay, all right.
The Black Knight?
No, that was with Martin Lawrence. We don't talk about
that. That was very tasteful.
Three very similar films.
A very tasteful depiction, yes.
What was The Last Knight?
The Last Knight was...
That was First Knight.
Oh, The First Knight, sorry. Yeah. That was filmed with... it was basically like, who do you want to fuck, Richard Gere or Sean Connery?
Yeah. Okay. It was
just a movie.
You asking me that?
Yeah.
Gere.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, obviously.
He's more gentle lover than
he's
Connery.
He's into like weird things though, isn't he?
No, that was a rumour.
That got out of control.
Yeah, okay. He played a gigolo in a movie.
Wasn't there always like one actor of every generation that just gets like the gerbil rumour?
Yeah. It's a rite of passage.
Who's got the current one?
I'm imagining it like...
Is it Affleck? Mm. I feel like Affleck could get landed with that.
You can get started if you want.
Yeah. We'll start it here.
Never too late.
Sorry, Scott. Back to...
Casey or Ben?
Ben.
Both. They did it together. Ugh. Anyway. Yeah. So, for casting, I've only got the two main guys. Prior General Joseph Callahan is played by Mark Gatiss from Sherlock. He plays Mycroft. He's also like a writer on Doctor Who. He's in Game of Thrones as well. He's the guy who comes over from the Iron Bank.
Oh, yeah.
To tell Cersei, oh, we're running out of money.
Yeah.
Anyway, I like him. I like him in Sherlock. Mm-hmm. And Martin Mendel, who's our lead, will be played by Liam Cunningham.
Ooh, Sir Davos.
Sir Davos.
Yeah, that's good.
Just because he looks a bit like a friar.
They're going to have the haircuts?
Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah.
That is all about mandatory. Davos.
What's the
onion friar.
You might know this. The start of Tropic Thunder when they're doing all of the movies and there's the one with Tobey Maguire and Kirk Lazarus where they're like they're monks in a monastery and they're...
I can't remember.
I'm imagining it like that. It's like there's some sort of forbidden love between two monks in a monastery.
Yeah.
What is this? A TV show?
I think it's going to be a movie. I don't think we can push it out further than that. But yeah, kind of like sign it with like JC. Maybe people think it's Jesus Christ for a bit.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. It was intentional.
There's room, though, for it to be someone else first and then have another one like they did in Pretty Little Liars.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
That is actually Jesus Christ.
That is actually Jesus Christ,
and he comes and maybe it's his British twin. Maybe he builds an underground lair.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Underground lairs.
Spitball.
Galore.
I've gone in a similar direction.
Oh, do you want to come in?
I'll jump in. Similar direction in terms of story. It's very much modeled off the Pretty Little Liars story, but mine is not in any way, shape, or form related to the religious sect of the United Kingdom in 1340.
Not set in the 12th century.
No, yeah. It's not. Yeah. It's set in the 90s, and it's about
the 1290s.
Yeah, the 1290s. Very good year.
That's so different.
Yeah, exactly.
Anybody that was there will tell you that. Those times were nothing alike.
Shut up, Aaron.
I'm such a 1290s kid.
Yeah. So it's about a wisecracking a mechanics apprentice from Staten Island. He moves out of Staten Island. He goes to Seattle to join a group of tire salesmen who sell tires for a living over in Seattle. But they hire him to replace their former gun salesman, who's sort of just gone off the handle and messing with people. That character's, it's called, their gun salesman, he's a bit older. His name's Adrian. It's played by Dean Winters.
Nice. Yes.
So he gets forced out by this new guy, Abel, who's the Staten Island mechanic. It's played by Hannibal Buress. And he comes into this like twisted world of tire selling and they're doing all these dodgy deals. And And then he forces out Adrian. And so he forces out Adrian, and then they start getting these, like, as he comes in, like, they're selling these, like, Canadian tires, but they're marketing them as American tires to all these people. Mm.
Canadian tires are worse quality?
No, they're the same quality, but because, you know, it's the US, they want American made, and they pride themselves on being American made tires. Mm. Abel's played by Hannibal Buress, which is the Arya character. The Emily character, which is Emilio, the sort of, you know, budding new best friend of Abel, is Eric Andre.
Yep, love it.
Ashley character will be played by Will Forte. Love a bit of Will Forte. And lastly, Spencer, who will be just, I'm going to shorten that down to Spence, is Andy Samberg. And they're running this, like, dodgy deal, and then Adrian, which is like Dean Winters, is sending him all these, like, messages like, hey, I'm going to expose your ring to the owner.
He would.
You know, and like, so there's this, it's a real, like, cat and mouse game of this, the fast paced world of tire selling. Mm. It's called Greedy Little Tires. And that's my reboot.
All right, that's good.
Was that inspired by your recent trip to America?
The Seattle part was, but I don't know. I just wanted something to be, I wanted something really trivial, like selling tires to be this really complicated cat and mouse web of lies. And I wanted to have Dean Winters in there. Nice. So.
Yeah.
All right.
That's a movie, TV show.
You could probably go either way. I think maybe it's a TV show, but they're it's a Netflix TV show, eight episodes.
Mm.
Mm. All right. So mine is set in, an alternate universe where instead of having pets, well, people still have pets, but instead of pets being domesticated animals, they're all miniature versions of John Cryer.
Oh, God.
So I guess somehow people have found it, like they do with miniature pigs, they've found a way to, you know, clone John Cryer, but make him small and sort of cute, short lifespan. Like
Just for the audience, the listeners, John Cryer is
the brother from Two and a Half Men.
From Two and a Half Men, yeah.
Anyway, so
the Charlie Sheen character
in this alternate universe,
yeah, where people have pets of John Cryer,
much like dog shows are a big thing now. Like, it's really the most well groomed John Cryers will go to this this sort of annual show. I don't know where it is. Maybe in Melbourne. Let's put it in Melbourne here.
Yeah.
So it's a, you know, really, really coveted award. Mm. And it's a documentary about maybe like four or five different contestants, like, getting their cryers ready for,
like,
the
best
show.
In show.
Yeah, like Best in Show. Exactly like Best in Show. So, you know, getting their cryers ready. Maybe a few things go wrong. And it's called Pretty Little Cryers.
I know exactly how you work. I know exactly how you worked that out. You went with the name.
Yeah.
And you came up with that. And then you, because you're like, oh, Cryer rhymes with that. And then you worked back. So that's what you came up with.
What did I come up with?
I came up, to be honest, I got tires, and then I worked my way back from there. But that is way weirder.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's weird to make.
Little
human bodies?
Yeah.
So do they dress them up, or they go nude?
Yeah, they dress them up.
It's not like a dog-shaped human body.
No,
like,
it's a little miniature John Cryer.
So if I had like a little...
Do they have human minds or dog minds?
They're just like really simplified human minds. Maybe just... All they can do...
John Cryer's character in Two and a Half Men.
Exactly. Yeah. They can only speak in quotes from the TV show. So instead of having them run through a course and jump over stuff, they put them in like a miniature set and have them act out a scene from Two and a Half Men.
Right. And can you change like...
The ones that do it the best, you know.
So you change it, like, their hair, you change like their hairstyles.
Yeah. You groom them.
Yeah, you groom them. So I could have one with a mullet.
This one's wearing a Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah. I could have a Civil War themed John Cryer if I wanted.
You could, yeah.
This one's just gotten out of the shower because they've run out of hot water.
Yeah. Obviously, the prettier...
So annoyed. You've got that angry look in his...
The prettier John Cryers are more coveted.
Right. Oh, obviously, yeah. It's a dog show. Oh, yeah. It's a cry show.
So you could go... I mean, you could go for like a Civil War John Cryer, but I don't know if that would be pretty enough.
Well, he can do his own Civil War reenactments with...
It's more gritty than pretty.
John. Yeah. It doesn't necessarily have to be the cry
show. You can do whatever you want with your John Cryer. It's like, what you do whatever you want with your dog. Yeah. You just take him for a walk.
So, is there like an RSPCA equivalent for the cryers?
Can I read?
Everything's exactly the same, except instead of cats and dogs, everyone just has
pets.
John Cryer.
This sounds like a birds, mod fish. Of life. Yeah,
like no. Just like cats. Maybe just dogs.
Can I do something a little unusual?
What?
Can I reboot your reboot?
Yeah, sure.
So the miniature John Cryers rise up against us in Civil War outfits and fight the human armies with
bayonets.
Muskets. Yeah, little bayonets, little ones. And it's called Gritty Little Cryers.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, yeah, so Pretty Little Cryers.
Pretty Little Cryers. I like it.
Wow. It really sounds like, you know how there's like mods of Half-Life, yeah, and they replace all the elements with Tim Allen.
Yeah.
So like,
yeah,
it sounds like
something like that. God,
it's a mod of Life, but you've just replaced dogs with John Cryer.
Yeah.
Which is,
I don't want to live in
as
that
horrifying
world.
as that. It was Doom, wasn't it?
I do not want to live in that world.
Okay. Well, no. Don't come with me through the portal to the world.
No,
of John
I'm staying in my little Greevil tires.
I think it sounds like a paradise. To be honest,
I'm going to hang out with all the tire salesmen.
That sounds like
a high stakes game.
This sounds fun.
Aaron.
Speaking of high stakes games, my reboot, I like the kind of like Truman Show vibe with like the bunkers and the underground lairs. Now, reminded me of those like Cold War bunkers that people would have had under their houses.
Yeah.
Like that movie, Blast from the Past. I love that movie.
That is a good movie. I've seen it for a long time.
It's a lot of fun. So mine is a comedy set in 1962 where the five girls from Pretty Little Lies play Risk in one of their parents' bunkers. So as they play, like they just naturally start getting bitchy and the game gets a bit too heated. But while this is happening, their conversations in the game are broadcast to the world as news. Ugh. Like their game is what is actually going on in the world.
Oh, God.
So they're the ones like controlling the nuclear arsenals near the global powers. So as they continue playing,
that's terrifying.
It just keeps getting darker and darker and they get more bitchy and the friendship starts breaking down. And then eventually they just go beyond the brink. The game just goes full atomic. They start dropping bombs on each other.
Oh, God.
And then, so that's the end of the game. The world's destroyed. And then as they storm out of the bunker, walk back into the real world, it's just all nuclear fallout. Everything's destroyed. Mm. It's just them.
Post-apocalyptic.
Yeah.
Are they playing out the Cold War in real time or is it?
It's kind of like...
every move they make is like...
Like, some say, sort of... in the Cuban Missile Crisis, where it was, like, a really intense period of high tension. So, this is, like, where that comes to a head.
Yeah,
so, there's, like, live news updates of, like, Russia said this.
And how long does a game of Risk take?
I don't know. 6 hours?
About as long as the Cold War.
Four days. How long's a piece of string, Jess?
Yeah.
So, is it, like, their six-hour game is played out over, like, 10 years in real life, or
not that long.
Maybe, like, two weeks
or something?
2 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. This is, like, a cross between, like... You know that movie War Games?
Yeah.
That's the one with Matthew Broderick?
Yeah. And like another film.
Mm. Pretty Little Lies, maybe.
No, like Jumanji.
Yeah.
Have you allocated superpowers to the characters?
No. It's just like kind of a surreal comedy.
When I say superpowers. Not superpowers. I mean like...
Oh, superpowers.
Like who is the US? Who's the Soviet Union? Who's the UK?
No, they're just all regular girls, I guess, who can control the...
None of them can fly.
...geopolitical landscape with the game
of
Risk.
Did you do that?
I did not.
Ooh.
You recast them as the countries. Yeah.
Exactly.
Who would be who?
Yeah.
Who'd be Russia?
The shoplifting one.
Soviet Russia.
Shoplifting one, yeah.
Hannah. Mm. Hannah's Soviet Russia.
Yeah.
Soviet Russia.
She'd be... JFK?
America.
Yeah.
You reckon?
No, she's just JFK.
Just JFK.
No, I assume they'd like embody the...
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't want to have to start naming the country, the world
that's
leaders.
It. And we're done.
And then...
Mao in there.
Someone's Gorbachev.
Yeah. Again, Mao.
And Cuba. Fidel Castro. Okay, we got a few.
I wouldn't call Cuba wasn't exactly a superpower, though.
It was the Cuban Missile Crisis.
I know, but they were a pawn in the game of the Soviet
Union.
He
was still a key figure.
Mm. Fidel, I guess he was.
Yeah. He can be the Mona of this situation.
I'd feel pretty shortchanged though if I was like, if say it's the four of us playing Risk, and like you get Gorbachev and you get JFK and Jez gets Margaret Thatcher and I get stuck with Fidel. It sucks. I got like,
well, who doesn't want to be Fidel? He wears a cool hat. He's a badass.
You're talking about Cuba? No, I've got no
Che Guevara.
Oh, I need to be Che Guevara.
I want to be someone that has a large military. I'm dead in the water.
We can form
have
an alliance.
Have you played Risk?
You can be that guy.
I have not actually.
You've not played Risk?
No.
Oh, well.
I don't play Risk either.
We should play a game of Risk.
We should.
But sorry.
For an episode?
Yes.
Yeah. Do it?
Yeah, we'll just...
All right. We'll do it in the background.
Yeah.
Sounds entertaining.
It's going to be a long episode.
I don't know whether that's going to work in the audio format, but we'll see.
You can be like the leader of Chechnya or something, getting co-opted by the Russian government. Over 40 years.
So you're a pawn in our game.
Why did I position myself like
you
this?
You were the last one to pick the superpowers.
I allocated them. And didn't
you
allocate myself
yourself
a shit
here.
One.
This is exactly like at the start of every episode where you forget to introduce yourself.
I know. Oh, God.
This is that played out in Cold War fashion.
Well, look, this whole podcast ruined.
It's like they when ruined. They're going through the safety instructions on a plane. You put the oxygen mask on yourself first, and then you attend to the other passengers. So
I don't understand.
Now you're in a lot of trouble.
I've never had that explained
to me. Look after your own interests first.
You're right.
And then worry about us.
You're right.
Mm. Anyway, yeah, anyway, we sort of derailed.
Yeah, what's your name?
Pretty Big Risks.
Oh, I like that.
I like that.
Pretty Big Risks.
Yeah. So same cast, but like the younger girls from the start.
And then what happens when they go out into the...
Oh, that's just the end. Like, they don't really acknowledge the whole...
They don't realize what they've done.
It's like a kind of sneer and snide remark, and then they walk off.
It's like a Mad Max prequel.
Anything could happen. Yeah. That's amazing. I really like that.
I liked it.
I like the absurdity of it.
Yeah.
That really appeals to me specifically.
I feel like I had him on absurdity, though.
So what do we have?
That's true.
Well, yeah, well, it's real neck and neck.
So we have Pretty Little Friars.
Yep.
Gritty Little Tires. Pretty Little Criers.
Pretty Little Criers.
And Pretty Big Risks.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pretty good. I like it all. Pretty good set of reboots this time around, guys.
Very solid all round.
Well, look, final thoughts on Pretty Little Liars. Last time I'm going to say it. Jez, would you go back and watch it? I'm
glad it's finished. No. Definitely not. Seven seasons? I don't have that much time.
Yeah, 160 episodes. I can't believe it went that long.
I don't have that much time.
No one does.
Aaron? Yeah, absolutely not. I can see why it was so popular, though. Like, teenage girls would just lap it up.
Yeah. Because we know teenage girls.
Yeah.
If there's anything that four white men from southern Victoria in their 20s know, it's teenage girls.
I think we really represent...
Oh, that sounds creepy now that I worded like that. I'm very sorry.
Can we put that on our posters?
Yeah, let's do it. We know what teenage girls want. Oh, I feel really gross.
Can we be shirtless in the poster?
Pantsless. Yeah.
Pantsless. Wearing jackets as pants?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Okay, Scott.
not gonna go there. I think I'm gonna maybe like read a couple of the arcs on Wikipedia just to get like a real condensed version of it, because I do kind of want to know how they got through everything.
How it got to the point that it got to.
Yeah, because that last episode had probably one of the quickest and most hectic previously ons I've ever seen in any show. They like brought up about 17 different topics in the space of about 22 seconds. Much going on that we didn't even cover.
They probably really only had a season and a half of content written down originally, not thinking it would last much longer than that. Mm. And then it just feels like they had to, the last probably five seasons were just all tacked on. Like,
when you get to evil twin territory,
just balls really to the wall. Yeah. It's like they hired about 10 different writers to write an episode. Then they just mashed them together.
Gave him a bunch of cocaine.
That'll do.
Yeah. They just picked a page each and threw it in.
Yeah. Whatever, let's just cram it in. As much drama as we can get into this. Personally, I will never, ever watch this show again. There's like 100 minutes of my life I'm never getting back.
You look like you want to sign a contract or something.
100.
Do we have a contract here that I can sign? I don't know.
How 100 one up for second episode.
Yeah, Jez is the contract lawyer for TIA.
You're right. So. 120 minutes I'm never getting back.
You whip something up?
Yeah.
I can whip something up.
A contract where I'd never have to watch Pretty Little Liars again.
Contract with who? The world?
Yeah.
Contracts up for himself first.
I've now learned. I'll get JFK to sign it. He's the president of the world, right?
Just don't watch it and you should be all right.
For those who are confused, Jez is the paralegal and partner at a local law firm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wiseman and Sons.
Yeah.
So it feels like we should be getting an IMDb list about now. Are we at that point in the episode?
I'm still not used to this segment, but I love it.
The newest segment.
It's good fun, seriously. Compared to research on the show and research on IMDb lists, I lose hours in these things.
I can only imagine.
Oh, so many IMDb holes. So basically, this is just where we pick a list related to someone from the show we've watched on IMDb, and someone has made a list about it. And this week, I've gone with a list from Chuck Lowe, which we didn't mention. Arya's dad is played by Chuck Lowe, brother of Rob Lowe.
Oh, what?
Really?
Yeah.
Chuck Lowe.
Yeah.
Is it like a list about less successful brothers?
He wasn't one of those, but
there's some great less successful brothers.
I elected to go with one called What Son? I Have No Son from user iDavis2, who has made a list of actors who don't have sons. His description is... Back in the day, a man wasn't considered a real man unless he fathered a son, which is what those listed have in common. None of them have fathered a son.
They're all barren.
So
what is the point of that list?
So much needless research.
243 people long.
Oh, wow.
It's too many.
Yeah.
It's always too many.
Top of the list is
a weird agenda.
Chris Judd. The actor, not the footballer.
There's an actor, Chris Judd.
He was in La La Land.
Okay.
Yeah. George R. R. Martin. Joaquin Phoenix, and then like a bunch of sports people. Just why?
How far down is this guy?
Oh, they haven't ordered him. Yeah, the king of Spain is on there.
What?
No sons.
No sons. But I had a look at this dude's profile, iDavis2, And they've rated 173 movies. Five of them have a rating of 4 or higher. The rest are 1, 2, or 3 out of 10.
Wow. What's his highest rated?
This guy just doing it for laughs.
Top 5 movies: Some Like It Hot, That Thing You Do, Ali, Just Imagine, and Spy Kids. And he's rated a lot. He's reviewed a lot. So I had just comparing Spy Kids to, say, A Beautiful Mind. And just trying to figure out
how... So he rated A Beautiful Mind under 4 and gave Spy Kids, what, a 6 or a 7?
A 4. So he said it was okay for what it was.
Is it 4 out of 5?
No, out of 10.
Out of 10. Wait, hang on.
So he gave...
He's never given
A Beautiful Mind 4 out of 10.
2 out of 10.
2 out of 10. And he gave Spy Kids what?
4 out of 10. Because it was good for what it was.
It was twice
as Beautiful Mind. It's hot garbage.
Yeah, A Beautiful Mind did not know what it was.
Did he rate anything above a 5?
Yeah, Some Like It Hot got a 9.
So that's the only good movie in existence.
And then The Thing That You Do got a 6, Ali got a 5.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Why
this guy's really bitter.
I don't understand why you bother rating movies.
If you're not going to use the whole spectrum.
Sounds like he doesn't even like movies.
Yeah.
No, it sounds like he doesn't.
Or he just have a real axe to grind against certain movies to bring their rating.
Yeah, like 160 ratings of 3 stars or less.
Wait, what? Why even
you think he'd work out what he likes by like... The 102nd.
Yeah. It's like somebody told him, like, when he first signed up to go on, like, the internet back in the day, they were like, you get one account on one website. And he's like, IMDb. I feel like movies are the future.
You're right. I'm all in on IMDb.
I'm really not a movie guy.
Anything else. It's his homepage. Just...
Yeah.
It's
his Google.
Yeah.
I did actually rate Pretty Little Lies on IMDb after watching it.
What did you give
it? I gave it a 2 out of 10.
Ooh.
I didn't want to give it a 1.
Better or worse than A Beautiful Mind?
On par.
About on par.
A bit of them, I knew what it was. So.
The thing I love about these lists is that people keep them up to date. This was made like a year and a half ago, but it was updated 4 weeks ago.
Good, what? Good. Plenty of actors not having sons.
Yeah. More every day.
I feel like we're going to create a lot of enemies doing this, but I don't care. So. Because people need to know about this, the insanity that's on IMDb.
We'll have a link to his profile.
Good.
Yeah. Assuming it's a guy.
I Davis too.
Yeah, we don't know. Well, that probably just about wraps it up there for us. Guys, I don't know what I was going to say. Boyos?
Men.
Childrenless men.
Childrenless men.
Childrenless of men.
Children of men.
Sonless fathers. Yeah, okay. A list of son.
Let's get.
Could they have other kids? Could they have daughters?
Yeah.
Okay. So sonless fathers.
Yes, sonless fathers.
Okay. How do you get information on this sort of stuff? I mean, King of Spain.
Medical records. I know. He's the doctor of all these people.
Where do you start?
Do you start
with a list of actors and then just scratch them out when they've got a son? Or do you...
Obviously.
Jeez, that'd be a long list.
He'd be taking people off the list, not adding people.
He'd have to be updating it. He'd learn of people having daughters and not sons. Like, whoa, you're on the list.
Like, he'd be watching a TV show and it's like, such and such has 2 daughters.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, and how many sons?
Any sons? Liam Neeson, you're on the list. Cool. Well, let's leave it there. We could talk about I, Davis's list for hours. But Aaron, where can people find us online?
You can go over to theincompleteseries.com where you can find all our episodes and give us ideas for new shows to watch or a reboot of the show that we've done. The one that we haven't done.
We do love something new. And Scott, social media.
You can hit us up. Just search for The Incomplete Series on Facebook or Instagram. We're Podcast TIS on Twitter as well. You can also drop in suggestions there if you're not the kind of website person, you don't want to use our website forms. You just want to leave a comment. Mm. Feel free.
And Jez, do we want people to review us?
No.
No reviews?
Only subscribe.
Okay, good.
Only if you know what we are. If it's good for what we are.
Yeah. If you're Davis too, please stay away from the star ratings.
Yeah,
But yeah, we're on all good podcast outlets. You found this one, so I'm sure you'll find the next one.
Yeah. Do us a favor. Just give us a little rating, 5 stars if possible, or a little review. Also helps us out a lot. So thanks for listening. Jez, thank you.
Thank you.
Aaron, thank you.
Thank you, Morgan.
And Scotty, thank you.
Thank you.